would, please turn one more time tonight to Lamentations, chapter number 3. I just want to take a moment to read the verse that started the whole thing today. Amen. Lamentations, chapter number 3. I'd like to try to finish up tonight. We've been focusing all day on the faithfulness of God. And that's a good thing to focus on, isn't it? Just reminding ourselves through the scriptures that God's promises never fail. Amen. God never fails. Jesus never fails. I didn't have any spaghetti today, so I didn't get any gravy on my white shirt. Now, usually I bring an extra white shirt with me in case. I didn't get no gravy on it, didn't have any spaghetti, but I got coffee on there. My wife told me I got to keep my coat on, you know, and then you can't see it, but over here there's dots of fish. So, and of all days, I didn't bring my extra white shirt. But anyway, so hopefully the coffee will keep me awake, amen, tonight. I want to thank you for your hospitality. As always, every time I come here, everybody's very hospitable and very kind. I thank you for it. And we're keeping the preacher in prayer always, amen. And we also congratulate them on their new grandchild, amen. And we thank the Lord for that. Thank God for a healthy and safe delivery and child, amen. But tonight I want to just take a few moments to reiterate some things we talked about and then finish up with some thoughts tonight as we continue on God's faithfulness. Lamentations 3 was the verse, chapter, and verses 22 and 23 are the main verses that we kind of looked at. And as I mentioned earlier, Lamentations, the word lament is to weep, to cry. And Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, as he looked back at Jerusalem's judgment by the Babylonians, he was heartbroken over what had happened, but in the midst of all of that, he was thanking God for his mercy. It could have been worse, amen? And he says this, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, as we mentioned earlier, totally consumed, because his compassions fail not. You know, mercy and grace stem from the love of God, amen? He's merciful to us. He doesn't give us what we rightfully deserve because he loves us, amen? And he's gracious to us. He gives us what we don't deserve. All because he loves us. Amen. I often think of the love of God as the foundation, and mercy and grace are the flowers that come out of that. Amen. And so we thank God for his love. In fact, he is love. Amen. He can only be what he is. He's good and he does good. He is love and he loves. Verse number 23, they, referring to God's mercies and love and compassion, if you will, they're new every morning. Thank God every day is a new day. And it's a new opportunity. You know, we ought to have the same feeling every day that we have on New Year's Day. Anybody ever get that New Year's Day feeling? You know, okay, you know what? This is where we're going to start afresh. Amen. And if we figure, you know, we can. Amen. But, you know, we can do it every day. We can do it every day because of his mercies. Amen. Verse number 23 says, they're new every morning. And here it is. Great is thy faithfulness. The reason that he's merciful and loving every day is because he's faithful every day. Amen. He is faithful to us. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about God is faithful to his promises. And we just looked at several verses where it referred to the fact that God was faithful. We looked at also where Solomon, dedicating the temple, looked back and made mention to the fact that not one word of God's promise has failed. He keeps every word. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 18, looking forward, that every word would be fulfilled. Not a jot or tittle would pass from the law till all be fulfilled. If God has kept his word this far, we can bank on it. He's going to keep it the rest of the way. Amen. By the way, this is our sole hope right here. This right here is our sole hope. I mean, you know, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. In fact, because this is our only hope, we need to make sure we know what it says. Amen. And may we read it on a daily basis. So we talked about God is faithful to his promises in Sunday school. And then this morning, we started to talk about this second thought, and that is God is faithful to his people. When you and I become his people, and by the way, you don't become his people till you decide to accept the Lord as your personal savior. Amen. Somebody else can't make you his people. You know, they believe nowadays that if you can take a baby, you can have him baptized and you can make him God's people. No. I've never read where a baby becomes God's person because of somebody else. Amen. I've read where babies become to the age of accountability, where they can reason and understand they're a sinner in need of the Savior. Jesus is the Savior who came to save the sinner, and they accept Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. When you and I become saved, we become his people. To put it according to the book of John, chapter number 10, we become his sheep. Amen. We become his sheep. Amen. And he is our shepherd. And by the way, what a loving shepherd. Amen. You and I can say confidently, like David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I shall not want, meaning I shall not lack. And then the rest of Psalms 23 talks about all of his provisions. I mean, he leads me beside still waters. He leads me to green pastures. He anoints my head with oil. Our shepherd provides for our every need. Amen. And then at the end of it all, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So when you and I get saved and we become his sheep, he cares for us through this life and on into eternity. Amen. And what a wonderful, wonderful truth and promise. But this morning we focused on the fact that when we become his people, there's things that God is definitely faithful to do for his people. And we focused on one thing this morning, and that is that God is faithful to help his people. Amen. You and I that are his, we have the help of God. Amen. And thank God for that. And by the way, let me just say this. You'll remember Paul the apostle, and you remember how when he started on his missionary endeavor and all the persecutions he went through and being shipwrecked and just everything. And I believe it's Acts 26:22. He says, having obtained help of God, we continue unto this day. Amen. Paul said, listen, I've gone through a lot. In fact, you could read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 or 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I got a little mixed up here, where Paul just talked about all that he went through, the opposition, the persecution. But through it all, the Lord stood with him and the Lord strengthened him. Amen. By his help, we've made it this far, and by his help, we'll make it as far as he wants us to make it. Amen. Now, we talked about that this morning, the help of God. God is faithful to help his people. Would you be so kind to turn to Psalms chapter 119? That's the biggest chapter in the Bible. Amen. Psalm 119. It's the biggest chapter in the biggest book. Amen. In the Bible, which is in the biggest book, the Bible. Amen. I remember speaking to a fella who had the big book. Anybody ever hear about the big book? The big book is the AA book. You ever hear about the big book? I was speaking to this guy, trying to witness to him and share the gospel with him. And he said, I got the big book. He said, I go to AA. I got the big, call their book, the big book. I said, that's okay. I got the bigger book. It's right here. And he got mad. Now, I didn't want to do that on purpose. I was just trying to say, okay, you got your book, you read your book, but look, this is a bigger one. This is God's word. And he got upset. But I'm going to tell you something. About 10 years later, I was preaching in a church, and he came up to me and he said, you're the guy that was arguing with me. I had the book and you said I got, you had the bigger book. He said, I got saved. I said, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I didn't try to do that on purpose. I just said, yeah, well, you know, every book is this is the Holy Bible. It's set apart, set above every other book. Amen. Psalm 119, if you would. And I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 75. And by the way, I don't enthusiastically share this point, but it is in the scriptures. Amen. And I must share it. Psalm 119, verse number 75. I want to say this. God is faithful not only to help his people, number one, but he's faithful to chasten his people. Point number two, he's faithful to chasten his people. Amen. That's not a popular, you know, thing. And by the way, I mean, I don't like chasing. By the way, I think the scripture says nobody really likes to be chastened at the time they're being chastened. Amen. But if allowed to do what it's supposed to do, it'll yield a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen. But I want you to know, listen, if a man after God's own heart named David was chastened of the Lord, we all are candidates. Amen. I want you to look with me at Psalm 119. Look at verse number 75, if you would, please. The Bible says this, and by the way, it's not a total guarantee that David wrote Psalm 119, but most people believe he did. But nonetheless, look at verse number 75. I know, O Lord, he said, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in what? Faithfulness has afflicted me. See, David, or whoever the writer is, said, look, I know one thing, that God in faithfulness has dealt with me, has chastened me. By the way, you and I know that loving, that chastening from the Lord is an expression of his love for us. Amen. Parents, excuse me, parents chasten and discipline their children because they love their children and they want the best for their children. Amen. In fact, when your child, now we live in the city, so, and just like here, you see this main street you have, we have them all around. I mean, it's just main street. And when we're raising children in the city, they cannot afford to run out into the street. You understand what I'm saying? And so what we have to do when our children do that, well, growing up, especially when they're little, we have to teach them a lesson. No, you can't just do that. You say, why would I lovingly correct him? Because I want to spare him death. I want to spare him a lot of grief. Amen. And God in heaven is our Father, and we're his children, and he knows that we're prone to wander. Amen? I mean, if a man after God's own heart can do the things that he did, not just falling with Bathsheba, but having her husband killed and many others. I mean, he was a murderer as well. I mean, if a man after God's own heart can do these things, can I get a witness on that one? Do you know when the Lord said to the disciples, one of you are going to betray me? Do you know what they all said to the Lord? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Why? They all knew they had the potential. Amen. David said, Lord, you in your faithfulness has afflicted me, has chastened me. But let me show you some other things he said in the same book. Look in the same chapter, if you will. Look at verse number 67 of the same chapter. Psalm 119, 67, please. Notice what he says. He says this. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. By the way, that's the reason God deals with us. When sheep begin to wander from the Lord, he has to deal with us. Why? To get us back to himself and back to the fold, if you will. Amen. Why? Because when sheep walk astray and get away from the Lord, they are vulnerable to the devil's attacks. When a sheep get away from the shepherd, they're putting themselves out where a wolf or a bear or some vicious animal, might I put it this way, where the devil can get to them easy. When you and I stick close to the Lord, we know one thing, the devil ain't getting to us unless he gets through him. Amen? And you and I that are saved, we got to be careful because we're all prone to wander one way or the other. Amen? And so David said, hey, listen, before I was afflicted, here's what happened. I went astray. Amen? Then let me show you another verse. Look with me, if you would, please, in verse number 71. Verse number 71. Here again, the same psalmist, same book, same chapter. It is what? Good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And so God, in faithfulness, he deals with us. He corrects us. He chastens us always lovingly. Always lovingly. Amen? In fact, I can personally testify that it was good for me that God chastened my life as a Christian. I was mentioning earlier, I got saved when I was a kid. I was probably about 10 years old, and we went to Sunday school. In fact, Bethel Baptist Church, our home church. I went to Sunday school as a kid, and I heard the Sunday school teacher teaching about Jesus Christ being the Savior and teaching and sharing the gospel. And I believed, and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. But when I became a teenager, and by the way, they're the years that the devil, that's prime time for the devil. Because you're not a kid no more, you start to take on different desires, you start to get interested in different things, and the devil knows that. In fact, the glory of young men is their strength. At a time where youth could be living for God and doing God's work and God's will, the devil says, boy, if I can get to them and get them away from the Lord, I can suck the life and the strength right out of them. In fact, he don't mind throwing them back to the Lord half done, if you will. It's prime time for the devil, no doubt about it. Amen. But the fact of the matter was, as a teenager, I got away from the Lord. The world was appealing to me. And once I got away from the Lord, I started drinking. I started smoking marijuana. I started stealing cars and motorcycles. I started getting into all kinds of sins that I'm ashamed of. You understand that? But I'm going to tell you something. God does not allow his children to sin successfully. I think Spurgeon wrote that. And that's a good thing. Because if he did, I might not be here. And let me tell you something. I believe God's chastening, it's not always a physical thing. You don't always, oh, my leg's broken, God must have chastened me. You understand what I'm saying? I'll tell you, sometimes his chastening could be verbal correction. It could be he could chasten us or discipline us or correct us through a word of God and through a teaching, through a preaching. I'll tell you one thing. When I got away from the Lord, I knew because I had the Holy Spirit inside, he was speaking to me. But I didn't want to listen. Stubborn, rebellious, didn't want to listen. And he would warn me and I would just keep going further until finally I wind up getting myself into a situation where I broke my back. And I'm in the hospital and I got 3 broken discs. They said I was an inch away from breaking my spine. They didn't know if I was going to be paralyzed. And by the way, in the hospital bed, there was one place I could only look, and that was up. And I remember at that time saying, Lord, I know I'm saved, no doubt about it. I know I'm doing wrong things. I shouldn't be living the way I'm living. And I know you're dealing with me. I said, Lord, please forgive me. Please allow me to walk again. If you allow me to walk again, I promise you, I'll walk for you. And that's what I've been doing. Thank God. They took the x-rays. They said the bones were broken, but they were never severed. So they were able to mend back together again. And I wasn't paralyzed, thank God. And since then, I've gotten right with the Lord and been going on. And I'll be honest with you. Now I can look back and say, it was good for me what God did, what God allowed. Amen? It was good for me. Why? It corrected me. I know people, by the way, they held a funeral recently for a friend that I grew up with. In our area, I mean, we're coming from a lot of drugs, a lot of funeral after funeral after funeral of young people. Amen? And I look back and I say, you know, Lord, where would I be? In jail, in the cemetery already, if you will. In heaven, we know, as a saved person. But the fact of the matter is, his correction, I allowed it to, you got your way. It kind of reminds me of Jonah. Can I get a witness on that? Jonah trying to run from the Lord. Listen, when he tried to run from the Lord, every step he took was down. Ain't that correct? God knows how to get a person to say, okay, Lord, I'll go. Amen. But nonetheless, even David, God chastened him. But thank God he looked back and said, it was good for me what God had done for me. Amen. Now, I'm not going to do it for the sake of time, but you know, Hebrews 12, 5 to 11 is a great text, which talks about the Father loving us and chasing us because he loves us. But I want you to turn to another text while we're in the Psalms. Would you look at Psalm 89, please? Now, I'm going to do something I shouldn't do tonight. I'm going to get in trouble, but it's getting too hot for me. Just don't get distracted by the stain, please. Now that won't distract you right there. Psalm 89, if you would, please. Psalm 89. Hey, listen, by the way, don't pride yourself that God never deals with you. Don't ever pride yourself. Because you may actually be saying, I might not even be saved. God chastens every child. Who is he that goes without chastisement, the Bible says. Amen. Again, it's not always a severe thing, if you will, in respects to, you know, physical and so on. Amen. I want you to note this. Now, in Psalm 89, God is reiterating the Davidic covenant, how God promised that David was going to have a lineage, if you will, and there would be a king that would sit on the throne. We know its fulfillment is in Christ. But here's what God says, and I want you to see something about God's chastening and his faithfulness in chastening. And I want you to know this. As God faithfully chastens us, he never stops loving us. Never stops loving us. Look at Psalm 89. Look at verses 30 to 33, if you would, please. Psalm 89, verse number 30. The Bible says this. If his children, referring to David's children, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments. By the way, there's the grounds for God's dealings. You stop doing the word of God. You stop living for the Lord, right? Look at verse number 31. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments. Verse number 32. Then will I visit their transgression with the rod. That's chastisement. And their iniquity with stripes. Now look at verse 33. Here's what I want you to get. Nevertheless, in spite of the fact that I'll chasten him, he says, nevertheless, my love and kindness will I not utterly take from him. Now get the next statement. Nor suffer my what? Faithfulness to fail. God said, I will lovingly chasten my children that get out of the way, but I'll never stop loving them and I'll never stop being faithful to them. Wow. I willingly go away from the Lord, if you will, and I do my own thing, and he lovingly deals with me, lovingly chases me, and he's always still faithful to me. You want to read an Old Testament book that exemplifies the love and faithfulness of God in spite of the unfaithfulness of his children? Read the book of Hosea. Hosea was a picture, a prophet who was a picture. He married a woman who became unfaithful, and he was to be faithful and love her because God was saying, the northern kingdom of Israel has forsaken me. They've gone a whoring from me. They've gone after other gods, but I love them and I want them back. I love them and want them back. Amen. And thank God you and I are always loved. Even if we go away, he loves us. Amen. He'll faithfully love us. Who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Romans chapter number 8. I'm persuaded, Paul said, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It don't matter what it is. Amen. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? What I have loved thee. God said to the nation of Israel by way of application, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. You know, that's a unique statement. I have is past tense. Love thee forever. I've already loved you forever. Amen. I love what the scripture says about Jesus. He loved his own unto the end. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful love. Amen. Oh, love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. Amen. God is faithful. Listen, God is faithful to help his people. God is faithful to chasten his people. Let me give you this third thought. See if you're taking notes accordingly. Let me give you this next thought and turn with me, if you would please, to Psalm 86. We're in the Psalms. Might as well stay in the neighborhood. Well, we're right there, actually. Wow, how about that? Psalm 86. Before we look at this, let me give you the next thought. God is not only faithful to help his children, and God is not only faithful to chasten his children, watch this, God is faithful to forgive his children. Amen? He is faithful to forgive his children. I put it in this order because when we do get chastened, and if we're smart enough, we want to come back to the Lord. Amen? And we can be assured, we can rest assured that he forgives his children. Amen. Before we look at Psalm 86, may I quote to you 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a wonderful, wonderful thought, especially in the context of 1 John, which has to do with our fellowship with God. Amen. By the way, if you know what if means? That's one of those conditional promises. I had a newborn Christian, a baby Christian, come to me one day, and he said he was reading, and he said it kind of scared him. He's like, what do you mean, if? How can this be questionable, whether God's going to forgive? What does that mean? And I said, well, let me give it to you this way. In the scriptures, it talks about forgiveness in two different places. There's forgiveness in heaven. There's forgiveness in earth. A person who's saved can live in sin, unforgiven sin, and yet die and go to heaven because their sins are forgiven. He said, what is unforgiven sin here and now? It's the sin that comes between us and God that we don't deal with. Amen? You say, what does that hinder? Does that hinder heaven? No. It hinders us from having fellowship with the Father. Amen? In fact, let me give you an example of a person who lived in sin without getting it right. His name was David. For at least 9 months, you see, you have to say at least 9 months because this woman got pregnant, if you will, amen, Uriah's wife Bathsheba, and he did not confess his sin. He didn't get right with God for a long time until the prophet had to go to him, Nathan, and give him that parable and finally say, you are the man. And then he said, I've sinned. Hold on a minute. At least 9 months, David tried to hide his sin and cover his sin. Let me tell you something. He had no fellowship with God during that time. You want to hear his testimony? I'm glad you do. Turn with me for a moment to Psalm 32. Some of you are saying, Brother Matt, you forgot Psalm 86. I know. Not yet. I hope you understand what I'm saying to you about this forgiveness thing. Once you're saved, you're going to heaven. You're forgiven. All your sins are forgiven. Well, hold on a minute. Why does 1 John say, if we confess our sins, can sins in this life come between us and God and hinder the blessing of God? You better believe it. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the nation of Israel, the leadership, in chapter 58 of Isaiah, they're fasting and they're praying and they're seeking God's help. And you know what happens? Nothing. And they wonder why. Why is God not answering our prayer? We're fasting, we're praying. Why is God? You know what they did? They thought they could live the way they wanted to live, do some prayers and fasting. That's going to make up the difference. And God's going to hear. You know what God said in Isaiah 59:1? He said, listen, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. You're not getting answered prayer. You're not getting the help of God. His arm's not short that it can't save. His ear's not heaven that it can't. Well, why isn't heaven helping us? There's sin between us and him that we've not dealt with. And I can't bless you like that. You're the prodigal in sin. I can't bless you where you are. Get out, come home, and I'll show you what I can do. You don't believe that? Second Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 14. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. All the way to chapter 7, verse number 1. Having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, and let us perfect holiness in the fear of God. You know what God said at the end of 2 Corinthians 6? He said, listen, if you return back to me, I'll receive you as a father. What does that mean? I'll be your father? No, he's already our father. I'll be able to do the fatherly things that fathers do. You see, the prodigal's father was his father already. But he couldn't father him and bless him the way he wanted to until he came back. Amen? Ain't that the truth? Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I want you to look at David. By the way, here's David's testimony. You know David went a good time without getting right with God. By the way, God's the one that initiated David getting right. He had to send Nathan to this man. And he had to tell Nathan this parable, or Nathan had to tell David this parable. David was so far from God, he didn't even get the parable. He got mad at the person in the parable, not realizing it was himself. Amen. Until finally the preacher had to say, you're the man, get right with God. And he said, I've sinned. Here's David's testimony of those years, or of that time, not those years, of that time period. Here's what he says. Look with me in Psalm 32. Psalm 32, it starts with a heart exploding with just enjoying the forgiveness of God. It's a heart of relief. Blessed, happy, prosperous is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. David starts out with praising God for the blessedness of forgiveness. Why is his heart overwhelmed like this? Because his heart was hurting before he experienced this. By the way, in our day and age, our sins ain't covered. They're cleansed. The Old Testament, Yom Kippur, once a year, the sins of Israel would be covered by the blood, if you will, till Jesus, the sacrifice, would come. And John the Baptist said, he's coming to take away the sins of the world. It's not just a covering, it's a cleansing. Amen? Watch this now. What he does is he begins to talk about his testimony in verse number 3. Look what he says. When I kept, what's that next word? Silence. Before he confessed to the Lord, he was shut up. He didn't get it right. Why? Here's his testimony. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. Day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. That's chastening right there. My moisture is turned to the drought of summer. I was a dried up Christian, if you will. But verse 5 is where it turns. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. And what did God do? And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. David's saying, I went for a long time without being right with him. And it was miserable. You ever been there? I've been there. When things ain't right this way, they ain't right. Amen. David's giving his testimony. And basically he's saying, let me tell you something. It ain't worth hiding. You hide your sin. But what's Proverbs say? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You're going nowhere. You're spinning your wheels. Amen. I often think of it as the hand of God coming down and just getting us by the shirt and lifting us up, and we're walking, but we ain't getting nowhere. Amen. If a man after God's own heart could commit sins, not get it right with God, live miserable for, you know, I wonder if it was God's mercy and pity that said, man, he's living miserable when he doesn't have to. Nathan, go get him. Amen. Do we see what I'm saying? Or we got it? I want you to turn with me for a moment. Let's go back to Psalm 86. Oh, we're not forgetting that verse, right? Psalm 86, if you would, please. And I'm almost done. Bear with me. By the way, if you want to see, remember David said, I kept silence, and then all of a sudden he said, you know what? I just came out with it. Read Psalm 51. That's where he came out with it. That's where he pleads for God's mercy and restoration of joy and everything else. Amen. Look at Psalm 86. I'm saying to you, listen, God is faithful to forgive his people. Now listen. I read in one commentary all the consequences of of forgiven sins. Amen. David was forgiven a lot of sins, but man, the consequences he had to deal with. It's one thing dealing with these crazy consequences when you're not right with God. That's even worse. Amen. Look with me if you would. I'm going to say God is faithful to forgive his people. When I think of 1 John 1:9 and I think of this forgiveness of God, I think of Psalm 86. Look at verse number 5 if you would. I want you to see this. The psalmist said, for thou, Lord, David said, for thou, Lord, art good. And would you look in the next verse, next statement? Ready. You got to be faithful to be ready to forgive. Isn't it truth? God is ready to forgive. And I love that next statement. He's what? Plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. When I read this verse, I can't help but think about the prodigal's father. You know that father was ready to forgive his son. He was eager to forgive his son. Amen. Let me give you the last thought and I'm going to quit. Listen, God is faithful to his people. He's faithful to help his people. Number one, he's faithful to chasten his people. He's faithful to forgive his people. Then finally, would you note with me here? Last thought, God is faithful to keep his people. He's faithful to keep his people. And might I say this, turn with me if you would to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter number 4, and I'm coming down. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. He is faithful to keep his people. Amen. I'm so glad that I don't have to keep myself. He keeps me. Amen. In 1 Peter, if you would. Now, by the way, the context of 1 Peter has to do with being persecuted for being a Christian. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him be rejoiced. Amen. Let him rejoice. But it talks about being persecuted and suffering as a Christian. And what are we supposed to do as we go through this life and suffer persecution as Christians? Well, verse number 19 says this. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, what does it say? Commit the keeping of their souls. And man, I say this, often the term soul was a reference to the life. May they commit the keeping of their souls or their life, if you will, to him in what? Well-doing. As unto what? A faithful creator. We do when we go through the trials and the troubles of this life, commit your life to God who's faithful. Amen. In fact, did not Jesus on the cross commit himself to the Lord? And David did the same in the Old Testament scriptures. But I want you also see this. I want you to turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Not only is God faithful to keep his people through this life, and there's other scriptures we could look at, but obviously time would fail. God is faithful to keep us through this life. And thank God he's faithful to keep us on into eternity. There are some people that believe they got to keep themselves saved. Hey, if you didn't get yourself saved, you don't have to keep yourself saved. Amen. We trust him to save us and we trust him to keep us saved. Amen. I'd hate to be somebody who believes that you could lose your salvation. Amen. I really would. I'm so glad that we don't lose it. Amen. With me, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And by the way, let me just say this. 1 Corinthians, these Christians were carnal. You recall that? I mean, Paul said, listen, I couldn't even speak to you because you're like carnal. He said, I had to give you milk. I wanted to speak to you. You're not spiritual. And by the way, how many churches try to mimic themselves after Corinthians? Charismatics. There was issues. I mean, this book was written. It really straightened a lot of things out. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. As I was reading this one day and thinking about the type of people that was being dealt with in this book, and this verse even more, I think, is wonderful. Look at verse number 8 of chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 1, 8. Who shall also confirm you unto the end? By the way, if you want to know who is in verse number 8, it's the end of verse 7. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ shall confirm you unto the end that you may be what? Blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, he presents us faultless before the throne of his glory. You and I that are saved are holy in Christ. Amen. But look at verse number 9. God is what? Faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This text right here is the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Amen. The fact that we're saved and we're always saved, and it's based on God's faithfulness, not our faithfulness. Amen. Or oh me, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Thank God he keeps us. Amen. Thank God he keeps us. To tell the Corinthians who were having a lot of issues that, hey, I know one thing. You're saved and God is faithful. Amen. To keep you. That's a wonderful thing. Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse number 16. 2 Timothy 4, 16 to 18. This is Paul's swan song, if you will. This is Paul's last book. He's on death row. He knows he's done. Amen. Here's what he says. At my first answer, when he had to go to court, if you will, he said, no man stood with me. Can I say this? He didn't have a lot of faithful friends. Watch this. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, but look at verse 17, notwithstanding. In spite of the fact that people may have failed me, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Paul says, listen, I was in a situation, but people would not stand with me, but the Lord was faithful, always faithful to stand with me. There are several times in the Bible where Paul's going through difficult situations and the Lord shows up and gives him a word of encouragement to keep on keeping on. Look at verse number 18, please. And he says this, not only did the Lord stand with me and strengthen me, watch what he says, and the Lord shall what? Deliver me from every evil work and will do what? And will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. What is Paul saying? He's saying God was faithful to be with me in the troubles in this life, but he also will make sure he will preserve me to that heavenly kingdom. In the very same book, chapter 1, verse number 12, Paul said, I've said some things, but I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. On death row, this book, he's on death row. It's a wonderful thing to know at death's door that he is able to keep what I've committed unto him the day that I got saved. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. One more time, I'm quitting. And then the towel. I want you to look at, with me to 1 Peter, please. Let's close up with 1 Peter. We got this with a simple message, right? God is faithful. Amen. He's faithful to help us. He's faithful to chasten us. He's faithful to forgive us. And he's faithful to keep us. Amen. Oh, the day you got saved, you got put in his hands. I hate to bust your bubble, but he's got the whole world in his hands. It's not true. Can I get a witness on that one? But I'll tell you this, he's got you and me, brother, sister, in his hands. Amen. In fact, we're in his hands and then we're in the Father's hands. That sounds like a double padlock to me. I remember a brother from New York City. You think Philadelphia is bad? New York's real bad. Somebody was visiting a brother in New York and he noticed in his house that he had four locks on his door. So another brother said, "Hey, brother, why do you got four locks on your door?" He said, "Because I can't afford five." But nonetheless, I want you to look at 1 Peter, if you would, please. Chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. Let's look at verse number 3 to 5, and I'm going to quit. Let's rest assured, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're in, by the way, when the people got in the ark, God shut the door. God sealed the door. It wasn't up to them, amen? And when you get in Christ, you're saved and you're safe, amen? Look at chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. That's a wonderful term. That means born again right there. Unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we've been saved, if you will, and we have a living hope because of the resurrected Christ. Look at verse number 4. We've been saved to an inheritance in incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Get this next statement. Reserved in heaven for you. It's already reserved. Verse number 5. Who? You and I that are saved. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation may be revealed in the last time. You and I don't have to persevere when it comes to our salvation. Amen. We got to persevere when it comes to living for Christ, but we don't have to persevere when it comes to our salvation because we don't keep ourselves saved. He keeps us saved. Amen. Like that. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Amen. Then he'll bear me safely over where my loved ones I shall meet. Thank God you and I that are his children. We have a faithful God. Amen. What a faithful God we have. Thank you for your attentiveness tonight. Let's pray. Father, as we close up for us tonight, and the leading will be with the, if there's a closing hymn or whatever, we pray for your spirit to just do a work in our hearts. Thank you for being faithful to us, especially, Lord, when we're not always faithful to you. And I'm reminded of, I think it's 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 to 13. When we're not faithful, you abide faithful still. You cannot deny yourself. Thank you for being faithful to us. May your faithfulness to us provoke us to be more faithful to you. Bless, we pray, this closing thoughts or closing song, hymn, whatever it is, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
This last song was one that Pastor wanted us to sing last Sunday at the end of the service, and I think it goes along real well with what Brother Renzi was talking about. It's the very last song in the 101 book, 101, Living for Jesus.
Thank you.
I trust you got a blessing today, as I have, and have a safe trip home, and be careful as you travel home, and trust we'll have a good week, and hope to see you on Wednesday night. Have a good evening.